to the O Woman podcast, where we discuss oh so many things about women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries, and we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me today for episode 22 of the O Woman podcast. Today's topic is talking to kids or your kids about sex. I really wanted to talk about this because I feel like the way my parents introduced the topic of sex to me was a really positive thing, the way they did it. And I really feel like I really benefited from their attitudes about sex. And I feel like this has affected all my relationships and affected my ideas of self-esteem and self-worth in a really positive way. And I just really wanted to share that with you if you're thinking about different ways you might think to talk to your kids about sex, or just, you know, your niece or nephew, they ask you questions. What do you say? Now I don't have kids of my own, but I was a kid once, and I specifically remember dealing with sexual issues when I got to be older and looking back and thinking of the way sex was described to me or introduced to me, or the way it was framed to me when I was a younger person, and it really helped set the stage for how I handled sexual relationships later in my life. To me, the biggest thing when you're talking to your kids about sex that is part of it is it's not even the talking issue, and it's way before you even have to talk to them about sex, but it's teaching your children, or teaching children that you love that are in your family, to believe in themselves and to giving them a self-esteem that is their own self-esteem, that is not related to your opinion of them or anything like that. Letting them know that they are innately worthy of good stuff in their life, and enforcing that, reinforcing that for them as they grow up. That's the biggest thing. I think especially for young women in today's world, I think that's a big thing, is not even self-esteem on a really superficial level, like, do I look pretty, things like that, because women deal with those kind of issues too. But just the concept of knowing, I deserve to be respected, and I deserve to be cared for in really positive ways. That's the biggest thing, is teaching your children that they deserve to be respected and that they have a responsibility to respect others. And I feel like that, once you embed that philosophy in their way of thinking, or once it becomes embedded in their way of thinking, talking about sex is just, and talking about sex in a healthy way is just going to be a natural product of having taught them that they deserve respect and they should give respect to everyone. Because that is really the basis, for like the first basic thing that we want our children to have in their relationships is respect. And if you have overall general respect within a relationship with two partners, whether it's a one-night stand relationship or otherwise, then you know that the sexual situation was treated the right way. It was dealt with the right way. And so if you're teaching your children to respect themselves and to demand that in others, that they be respected, then you don't have to be worried as much about, oh, what if my kid is in this situation sexually or this and that, because all of the respect that they have for themselves is going to flood into every decision they make, and they're not going to make those, you know, those stereotypical mistakes that everybody thinks, oh, teenagers make. Now, they might make mistakes, and they might make a big mistake, but that could happen to anyone, really. Teaching them to be respectful of themselves is going to keep them from making a lot of decisions that are going to be hurtful to themselves and hurtful to others, which is the biggest start in talking to your kids about sex. If you actually thoroughly teach your daughters that they should respect themselves, they are going to only choose men that respect them. And this is about modeling too. So daughters with fathers who respect them and treat them as intelligent, kind people, as women that have worth they're going to choose men that feel that same way about them too. In most cases, not always, but in most cases, there's always that syndrome where girls pick the bad boy for a little while, in time. And that could be a phase, that could be, who knows what that is. That's hard to say. but still deep down, they know this person isn't respecting me the right way. I need to pick someone better. Daughters are going to demand the things that they deserve in a relationship, just as we women feel that we deserve it in our relationships. Our daughters will demand the same thing. And hopefully modeling for daughters your relationship with your partner, if you have one, maybe it's with her father, maybe it's with another man that you care about, maybe you're not in a relationship, but still modeling for your daughter what a positive sexual situation is like, short of like, you know, you don't like have sex in front of her, but she'll pick up on it. She'll know that you have respect for yourself, and she'll think, I should have that too, or I have respect for myself too. And this has to do with, you know, if you're still in a relationship with your daughter's father, you and her dad are a team and you respect each other. And, you know, if you interact with each other in a way that shows that you sexually appreciate each other but are respectful of each other, she's going to know that deep down that's what is valuable in a relationship. So, you know, who knows? A dad, you know, pats his wife on the butt or whatever in front of their daughter, and the daughter goes, ew, but still she knows that it's an appreciative touch. It isn't a pushy thing. It just shows her that he cares about her, but they're still a team. And if you're, you know, not still in a partnership with your daughter's father, you still model that same behavior in front of the other partnerships that you have in your life with other men that you're in partnerships with. Or even in the case of if you are just dating around, you're not seeing anyone in particular, you still model respecting yourself with this other person. So not changing who you are for someone else, that is a big thing that affects young women, especially when they're learning how to be sexually, that, hey, I don't need to change myself for this other person. Because oftentimes that can manifest with young girls as, I can change my ideas about what I deserve and what I don't deserve just because, you know, that's changeable. Like, oh, we don't have to use a condom because it's not set in stone that is an unchangeable fact. But some things that are related to taking care of yourself and respecting yourself are unchangeable facts. And so you have to model that in your own relationships, whatever they are, so that your daughter sees them. So if you're starting to date again after not having dated for a while and your daughter is watching you, she should be able to know in the back of her mind that, hey, my mom is getting dressed up. She's going out with a person, but she's also talking about staying true to herself, and she comes home and she describes the date, and she, no part of the date does she describe where she became someone other than my mom. She was always my mom, acting like who she is, demanding what she deserves. And the guy can like her or not based on that. But if he doesn't like her, he's an idiot. And if he does like her, then good, because I think my mom is fantastic. And she stayed true to who she was and her morals and her beliefs about what she's worth and what she deserves. So in whatever relationship you're in, whatever it is, you can model for your daughters, and it works the exact same way for your sons. You can model for your sons how you deserve to be treated in a relationship, because your son is going to watch what sort of men you allow to be in your life. He's going to see if you choose someone who is valuable and takes care of you or not. I mean, he doesn't have to like them, but if he can tell that you picked someone who is respecting of you, he knows that in the back of his mind, and that's still going to be a part of his understanding of the way relationships are supposed to be. So that's kind of a big long rant about just modeling your behavior, because that is the biggest learning device in all of humankind. Before there was ever organized education or anything like that, children would learn from watching and doing. So you have to model the way you want your children to be. And if you're not that person necessarily, you have to decide to become that person that is the better version of yourself, so that your children can see that that's what they deserve too, that they deserve what the same things that you demand for yourself and the same things that you demand for them. Because if you tell your children, you know, you should respect yourself and respect other people, but they see that you don't do that in your relationships or in other aspects of your life, they're not going to understand how to do it. They might believe the concept and think, yes, that's true, I should respect myself. But they're not going to know how to model it in themselves and do that. So you have to show them. That is the biggest way to teach your children, is to show them. And of course, since we're talking about talking to your kids about sex, we're not talking about showing them your sexual activity. But we're talking about showing them through conversation, through subtle attitudes, your ideas about what sex is supposed to be. Which, this includes, too, being open about, depending on their age and certain aspects, certain things that you want to share, being open about your understanding of sex as a young person and your activities with sex as a young person. So when I have children, I'm going to explain to them that I waited to have sex until I was out of high school. I was grown up enough to know what I was doing. And I waited to have sex with someone that I trusted, that I didn't do it with just a random boyfriend, because it's such a spiritually important experience to start having sex. And your ideas about sex can be altered for many years or for a whole lifetime, depending on your first experiences with it and how it affects you. So it's really important to, you create your own setting. You create your own situation. You're not a victim. You are able to go into your sexual situations either demanding or otherwise. Now, some people end up being victimized in sexual situations. But if you are already armed, or if your children are already armed with ways to be respectful, it's less likely that you're going to be in a situation where that kind of thing is happening. There's always things that can happen no matter what you do, but we're talking here today more about getting your children in the right frame of mind about sex and sexual situations, so that it's easier to say no if they don't want to do it. It's easier to be in a situation that's more comfortable instead of a little bit weird feeling, but they're doing it anyway. It's about teaching them to think, this doesn't seem right to me. I'm not going to be around this situation anymore. And I think one tool that's going to be really effective hopefully will be really effective for me when I'm talking to my children about my future children that I don't have yet about sex and stuff like that, is that we have different animals. We have different farm animals that clearly mate to have babies. And so the idea that I feel like a lot of parents have is to kind of hide the biological facts about sex from children as long as you can. It would be impossible for me to do that with different farm animals like chickens and things breeding and mating and having babies, because children, the natural curious people that they are, want to know everything about everything. And sex as a biological fact, pregnancy as a biological fact, having a baby come out of you as a biological fact, or having an egg come out of you, depending on what animal you are, is a magical scientific thing to explain to a kid that doesn't have to mean you have to explain all of the sexual attitudes that come with it. Because I remember from an early age knowing what happened during sex. Of course, I didn't understand the reasoning behind wanting to have sex, because when you're a kid, you're like, who wants to do that? That's stupid. Especially if it's explained to you, like, this is what animals do when they're wanting to have a baby. Little kids don't want to have a baby. They're like, that sounds ridiculous. Who wants a baby? No, they're like, ew, I don't even want to kiss anybody. Get away from me. So if it's framed in that way, this is how animals, what they do to have a baby, and explaining all the facts. The penis goes inside of this, because the penis is used for peeing and for making babies, and the vagina is used, for babies to come out of and for other things to happen with, you know, and that's what it's for. They deserve to know what their body was meant for. That fact shouldn't be hidden from them. And when you hide scientific facts from kids, since they're hungry for knowledge, they learn it in other ways. For example, from their peers, who are usually misinformed about body parts anyway and what they do, especially when they're younger kids. So it's better to just tell them yourself so that they know what's going on. And so that if they have a friend that's misinformed, they can totally correct them and say, no, that's not what that body part is for. And then also having to do with respecting their own bodies and stuff is, you teach them their body parts, you teach them the names that they are, and you teach them that these things, vaginas and penises, no one touches except themselves. Nobody gets to touch them. Maybe the doctor would get to touch them if they were sick, or maybe mom and dad would get to touch them if they were feeling sick, but nobody gets to touch private parts, or whatever you want to call them. But the idea of calling body parts by what they are is so much more empowering, and knowing what they are is so much more empowering than calling them by like a nickname. Like, I knew one little girl one time whose family called her vagina or her crotchal region her pocketbook. So she would say, my pocketbook hurts. Which, and I was thinking, I don't know what that means. You brought a pocketbook? Like, what are you talking about? And to me, that's such a dangerous thing, because in the case of someone abusing this child, the child trying to explain to someone that their pocketbook is being touched, I literally did not understand what that kid meant. I would not think that anybody was hurting her. If she came to me and said, someone was touching my pocketbook, I would say, well, go put your pocketbook away. Don't bring it back again. I wouldn't say, who is the bad guy touching your pocketbook? You know, because I don't know what they're talking about. So knowledge is an empowerment thing. And knowledge, for what it really is and not a distractionary nickname for something, is really important. Now, you can have a nickname for a crotch part, because I always grew up saying crotch. You know, wipe your crotch. But I knew what the word was. I knew it was a vagina at the same time. But an interchangeable thing for the penis area and the vagina area is crotch. That's just what I always said. But I still knew what it was called. I still knew what it did. And I still knew that nobody was supposed to mess with it ever. It was my private space. And nobody gets to touch it ever. And then as you grow up, and you get toward the more teenagery phase, when you start to get interested potentially in somebody touching your private area, that's when, you know, as a parent and with your children, you can have a deeper conversation about when it is appropriate for that area to be touched, and how it's such an area that requires such respect, something that you've already taught them through modeling, through showing them that sexuality is such a respectful, private thing, that you're teaching them a time when it's actually valuable to use it. And also, too, in my opinion, related to teaching kids about sex, also is teaching them about masturbation. Because we cannot deny that teenage kids are interested in sexual feelings and experiences. But the difference is, when they're young, they don't need to be sharing sexual experiences with other people, because they're not going to be quite responsible enough to be safe. They're not going to know exactly how to deal with the situation, because it is such an emotionally heavy, weighty experience that, you know, young teenagers, it really depends on the person. I had some friends started having sex when they were 16 and 17, and that was too young for them. I had some that started having sex when they were 18, and that was fine for them. Some when they were 17, and that worked out for them okay, because they were very responsible people. It's just, it's such a case-by-case basis, you can't really know. But, and as a parent, you're probably going to think, my kid is always too young to have sex. Just don't do it ever, because of all the things that come with being afraid of what could happen to them in that situation. But one thing I specifically remember after I talked to my mom about the first time I had sex, you know, I told her about it probably a week or two after I had done it. She wasn't scared at all. She wasn't worried. She asked me some specific questions, but she didn't kind of clench up and close off and get nervous like a lot of parents do, because it's understandable, because you're worried, oh God, this is a whole new realm in this child's life that I can't protect them in. I hope that I taught them enough about being safe. But because of all the dialogue that I'd had with my family as a younger person, and because she knew how much I respected myself and how much they taught me to respect my body, that she believed that I would be very safe about it, and that I would demand to be respected and to be treated carefully and kindly in sexual situations. So she, you know, was concerned a bit. She had questions, but she wasn't nervous. She didn't freak out on me. A lot of my friends' parents I know freaked out on them, because the dialogue about sex was never open until all of a sudden the parent finds out the kid's having sex. An open dialogue is so important. And it starts with you as a parent being open about what you have to say and what you've experienced and your beliefs way before your kid comes to this phase in their life when they have questions, when they need to be open about sex. It starts with you. You can't expect them to share their private sexual stories with you if they don't even know what you think about sex or about them having sex or about anything. And I knew that my parents, I don't even know if my parents ever said out loud to me, you need to wait until blah, blah, blah. They never said that. But they would just say different things that had to do with when it's the right time and you're with someone that you trust and someone who can take care of you and be caring with you. But also when you're ready, like individually. And this goes back to, I think, talking to your kids about masturbation and how that should not be something that's hidden, is because when kids first get a sex drive, it's generally way before they should ever be having sex. So teaching them to be able to, that it's okay to masturbate and touch themselves and learn about what their body does before they ever encounter a partner, is so valuable because there's no risk of getting STDs or HIV. There's no risk of getting anybody pregnant. There's no risk of any weird emotional consequences that come from being scared in a sexual situation or hurt or abused or just freaked out by what happened. And it's also a fantastic learning experience so that they can be a better partner with someone in the future when they actually are with a person that they trust and care about. They have confidence not only in themselves as a person, but they have confidence in what their body is like and what it does. So they're going to know how to interact sexually with a person in a more easy, better way when they get to be old enough to actually emotionally deal with that and to be responsible enough to take care of pregnancy and different health risks that come with sex. So teaching kids that masturbation is an okay outlet and that actually, in my opinion, I'm going to try to frame it as stage one of your sexual awakening as you like way have to do that. When I have my kids, it'll be, you know, masturbation is like step one of sex. Like you don't even get to do sex until you are like know how to masturbate because you wouldn't be a very good partner. You need to know what to do with your body. All, you know, things like that. And I think another thing that was really effective for me in understanding like a healthy sort of sexuality and learning what a healthy sort of sexuality was kind of just from my parents talking was they didn't ask me questions about what I had done or what I was going to do or what I thought about this and that. They would just tell me stories about their experiences. And then I would ask them questions and they would answer them. And I think that was the most effective thing was just openly sharing your stories, sharing what happened. You know, it doesn't have to be in detail if that freaks you out, and sharing how you emotionally felt about it and saying, I'm so glad I waited till I was this old because I felt so comfortable with my body. I had no worries, blah, 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 blah. So that you're not giving them advice like, you should do this, you should do that. You're just telling them what worked for you. And because modeling is such an efficient and effective way to actually teach your kids how to interact with the world, they're going to pick up on it and they're going to think, that makes sense. Especially if you've had an open dialogue with them about different things about sexuality since they were younger. They're not going to think, oh crap, they're talking to me now about this thing. Just because they're trying to tell me what to do in like an offhanded way. They're going to think, oh, more information about this topic that I already knew some about. So when they're young kids, teaching them actually biologically what sex is, when they first ask or when they see it, but explaining that's something that grown-ups do when they want to have babies, you know, kind of thing. And then as they get older, talking to them about masturbation and, you know, I'm going to talk about my own experience with masturbation and how that was a valuable thing. I'm not going to say, hi, son or daughter, are you masturbating yet? Let's talk about it, because that could make them freakishly embarrassed. But I would still, I would just tell them my story, and they'll think, okay, I'm not a weirdo. I'm normal enough. I'm at least as normal as my parents, which depending on how normal Jason and I are, who knows? But still normal enough to be a respectful, caring person in the world, that's for sure. So, you know, when they get to be that age, telling them that story. And then when they get to be older, you know, starting just a general dialogue about sexuality or making comments about things that you see in media or on the news or in things that your children are reading or seeing that either confirm what your opinion, you know, hey, I agree with this thing that you looked at. I think that's a really smart thing. Or, oh, I disagree with that a little bit because of what this blah, 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 how this shows her to be as a woman. You know, I mean, for example, teenage girls are going to watch raunchy music videos where women are mostly objectified with their boobs and their butts and all sorts of stuff. It doesn't mean that they shouldn't watch those things. It should just mean that they should know that that isn't what reality is and that they're making a video. It is an art form video. It is not actually the way women are or should be in real life. So, you know, know what they're up to and hang out with them while they're watching their stuff. And even though you don't literally love it, watch a video with them if they want to show you and say, that was a really cool video. That was artistically done. I wonder about the women shaking their asses all over the place. Do you think that girls your age think that that's like normal? That that's okay? Or do they realize that this is specifically the video is doing this? You know, and just see what your kid says. See what your daughter says if you're talking to your daughter. Chances are, she's going to think the video is interesting and cool, but she's going to know that you go and you shake your ass out in the world. It's like really inappropriate and it doesn't show you for who you are. It just shows your ass to people and they're not going to get to know you as a person. But just having an open dialogue about it is the best thing. And having an open dialogue about being safe with sex when they get to be closer to that age when that happens. Birth control and condoms and things like that. And saying out loud before they even get there, the birth control you use. And letting them overhear adult conversations that are healthy adult conversations. Your girlfriends come over. Your women friends come over. They can overhear that kind of stuff. You know, some of the things maybe they can't overhear. But they can overhear some things. They can overhear talking about having their children. They can overhear talking about switching to a new type of birth control. Because when they hear women talking about it, they know it's okay to talk about. They know it's something that you actually have to think about and worry about and pay attention to as a woman in the world. That you can't just mindlessly have sex with whoever and not be worried about pregnancy and STDs and things like that. Just letting them hear adult conversations. Letting them know that they deserve respect and they deserve to give respect to other people by modeling it, by letting them see it and hear it, and also by answering all the questions that they have. You don't have to answer them in the greatest detail, but you have to answer them. I think if your kid asks you a question, you can't ever say, oh, that's too this or that to talk about. If they're asking you a question, they're saying to you, I trust my parents' opinion. I want to know what they think. And so you have to give them an answer no matter what how weird the question is. You have to give them an answer. And in my opinion, you have to give them an answer without freaking out on them for asking. You don't have to agree with the question at all. You don't have to think, oh, I have to try to play cool and act like I'm a cool person with when this question is asked to me so that I don't scare them away. But you have to answer it. If they're asking you sexual questions, you should answer them. And if they're asking you questions about your own personal life, you should answer them. Because they're hungry for knowledge and they're looking to you, which is the best place to look, instead of looking to another person that you don't know with how they're going to answer. Use it as a teaching moment. They ask you a question, answer it. And it starts when they're young and they're ready to learn. You're the one they're watching. You and your husband or partner or wife or person that you picked that this child lives with too, they're watching. And they're watching how you handle yourself and your relationships. Pretend like you're on stage for the rest of your life and your children are watching you and thinking about what sexuality is going to be like for them by watching you and the people you interact with sexually. You're going to be on stage for the rest of your life, at least until your children become full adults and realize that they are very empowered to take care of themselves and deal with themselves and they don't need to worry about what parents think. But for many, many years, you're going to be on stage and you'll be center stage. You're the main one this kid is watching. So handle it well and don't get scared about talking about sex. Talking about sex is a healthy, good thing. So that's just a little bit, today I wanted to talk about talking to your kids about sex. And I did just that. We talked about how to talk about sex with your kids and what topics that should or should not be discussed and things like that. I just feel like it's really very important because I feel like if we think and we are consciously communicating with our children and the generations that come after us about things that are very important to us and to them, then the world's going to be a better place. That's our whole point, right? Is making the world a better place. That's the whole point of being humans, and then the whole point of especially having children that come after you is to give the world a human that is better than you. And so you hope to make this human better than you. And you have to do that by giving of yourself freely and sharing with them who you are so that they can make decisions based on your mistakes and failures and successes and know how to handle themselves in sexual situations and otherwise. You are a gift to this child. Remember to show them. Remember to share that with them. Thank you so much for listening again today to the O Woman Podcast. Once again, I'm Emma. Be sure to follow us on Facebook. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on iTunes. You can always go to the website, owomanpodcast.com, and send me a message or write a comment on the website or email me at emma@owomanpodcast.com. If you have any questions, any comments, any feedback, or if you have an idea for a topic of an upcoming show that you're interested in learning more about, I will talk about pretty much any topic because that is my mission in life, is to just share things that we want shared and to share ourselves, which are wonderful, wonderful people. I hope you had a fantastic Thanksgiving break, if you do Thanksgiving. I hope that you ate lots of delicious food and that you feel rejuvenated and revived for the upcoming holiday celebrations that will be happening for the next few months. And once again, I thank you for listening to me. I love speaking with you guys, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Okay, bye.